two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good morning, KSL News Time now, 8:30.
It's 40 degrees.
Few surface street crashes affecting drivers this morning. I'm Andy Farnsworth.
Our top story this half hour, the White House issues a warning.
KSL's top national stories this hour with Sean Michael Lyle live at the KSL National News Desk.
Amanda, the White House Coronavirus Task Force is projecting a death toll from the outbreak from 100 to 240,000 Americans. Dr. Deborah Birx hopes, though, for better.
Because that's not assuming 100% of every American does everything that they're supposed to be doing.
But if everyone pitches in, she believes the toll could be much lower. Half the U.S. coronavirus cases, more than half the deaths, are in the New York tri-state area. Mayor Bill de Blasio watched as the U.S. Tennis Center transitioned into a 350-bed hospital.
I'm looking forward to the day when this is going to be a place for tennis again, but in the meantime, I'm inspired by the fact that people are stepping up.
Hospitalizations are now beginning to slow in New York. The United Nations Secretary General calling for a global ceasefire so everyone can focus on the pandemic. Antonio Guterres calls coronavirus the worst crisis since World War II.
We are slowly moving in the right direction, but we need to speed up and we need to do much more.
He fears the pandemic could trigger instability in many countries. Coronavirus coverage every 30 minutes on KSL News Radio. And today is Census Day. Where you live on April 1st is used to provide federal funding for your community along with congressional representation. One-third of Americans have already completed the online survey. Live at the KSL National News Desk, Sean Michael Lyle, KSL News Radio.
Let's go in depth here. Not much damage is reported after a major 6.5 earthquake shook central Idaho yesterday. That quake came, of course, 2 weeks after a 5.7 shook us here, centered around Magna and much of northern Utah.
Are those quakes related? Let's ask seismologist Dr. Lucy Jones, who works with the U.S. Geological Survey and Caltech. She joins us live on the KSL Newsline. Is there any relation between these two earthquakes, Doctor?
There's no relationship in time. There's very much a relationship in why they happen. The whole area between the Wasatch Front and the Sierra Nevada in California is being gradually stretched out. And so you have earthquakes at a much slower rate than we do here in Southern California, but you have them. The fact that they're 2 weeks apart looks really much more like random chance. You know, We've gone and tried to study how much one earthquake can trigger another. And because you could look and say, hey, they're only 2 weeks apart. They're only a few hundred miles away. They must be related. Well, earthquakes happen. And so we have to test whether or not they're happening more often than you'd expect by random chance. And we just don't see an effect for one earthquake triggering another beyond about a few times whatever the length of the original fault is. So your Utah earthquake had a fault that was probably about 10 miles across. So we could see a noticeable change out to 30, 40, maybe 50 miles. And this is, of course, much farther away.
Yeah, and of course, you follow this much closer than most of us, at least until we had the 5.7, and then we all started paying attention here. But when you look at these apps that people have downloaded, even our KSL News Radio app, and you broaden that area from, you know, within 50 miles or 100 miles of Salt Lake City, you get the idea that this stuff goes on all of the time. We're just not paying attention.
Oh, that's right. Small earthquakes happen all the time, you know. We have a network here in Southern California. If we go more than 12 hours without recording an earthquake, we ring an alarm because there must be something wrong with the system. Now, most of those are really tiny earthquakes, and the rate at which you get them in Utah are lower than California. But, you know, and so the bigger ones are rarer, but it really does appear to just be like a random fluctuation how big an earthquake becomes.
Does our having that 5.7 in Idaho, having the 6.5, does that make us any more or less likely to have a larger one in years to come?
Again, that same sort of distance around it, right around Magna, you know, in Salt Lake City, the chance that you're going to have a bigger one within the next few months, it's dying off with time, but it's actually sort of like the inverse of the way the coronavirus is increasing, right? So it's really slow at the beginning, and then it really piles on. You get the opposite with aftershocks. You get a lot right away, and then you get this really long die-off. And so out for another year or two, you have a very slightly increased chance of having another big one. But not, it doesn't affect the area in between, right? We still got this limit that it can only affect the area that it moved. So the fact that you added the Idaho earthquake doesn't change your risk in Utah.
All right. And it's not like we need anything else to worry about, but I was kind of curious because of the proximity of this quake in Challis to Yellowstone. And we hear so much about, you know, the caldera there, and Yellowstone always has the earth moving for anybody that's ever visited there in the past. Does it have any relation at all to the Yellowstone geologic activity?
Again, you know, it's 200 miles away, and that's one thing we've really looked for. Can earthquakes trigger movement in volcanoes? And we just don't see it. Sometimes volcanoes, the magma really getting moving sets off some earthquakes, but they're only right at the caldera. It's, you know, stressed as it moves. We just don't see distant volcanoes affecting volcanoes, and you know, it's interesting. Somehow Yellowstone has caught people's imagination because they use that term supervolcano. All that means is that there was once an eruption with a huge amount of magma in it, and that once there was an eruption was 700,000 years ago. So it is an active volcano, but it's not teetering on the edge. That's solely something that's come out of people's fears and media. It's no more dangerous than the, you know, 150 other volcanoes around the United States.
So good to have more understanding. Thank you, Doctor. Dr. Lucy Jones works with the U.S. Geological Survey and Caltech on the KSL Newsline.
Yeah, by the way, the state of Utah is launching a website to answer your questions about earthquakes, too. And KSL News Radio's Kelly Pierce has had an eye on it.
Earthquakes.utah.gov has advice about what to do during an earthquake. You know, drop cover and hold on. But what if you want to know about seismic retrofitting your house or how to be better prepared before an emergency? The website's got you covered. Why did the state launch it? There's been a lot of questions from Utahns following this month's quake in Magna, and putting scientific and practical information in one spot, including how to talk to a relative that's still shaken up, as well as links to report damage, could help people while cutting down on all the phone calls. Kelly Pierce, KSL News Radio.